Good morning, everybody. Why don't you take your seats for me a moment, and we will, get into this morning's service. I want to say thank you so much, firstly, for allowing me to come and share a bit about what God is doing through the work of Compassion and the local church across the world. Thank you so much. Having been a missionary myself in Burundi and a church leader, I know how amazing it is to see the church mobilized and be all that it can be. But I'm here representing Compassion, and I know that it's been a kind of a few years in the making, talking with Howard about how we can further the impact that you are having as a church body within the area of Karamoja. And so I wanted to introduce a bit about what Compassion is. So firstly, Compassion wants to answer one of the questions that is out there. How do we solve a problem like poverty? Poverty is so vast, it is so big, and UNHCR say that there are currently over 333 million children, 333 million children living in abject poverty as we speak today. And so we believe the answer to that question, how do we answer a question like poverty, how do we solve a problem like poverty, we begin with a child. We begin with the lost and the least of these, because as they grow, they will release their families from poverty in Jesus' name. Compassion started in 1952 by this gentleman. His name was Everett Swanson. He was an American pastor, and he was called to go and minister to the troops in South Korea during the Korean War. And so he flew over and he ministered, he preached the word to the troops to encourage them in the fight that they were doing over in South Korea. But the next morning, as he was walking the streets of South Korea, he was carrying his black jacket under his arm. But the next thing he realized is that a little boy came and grabbed his jacket and took off through the streets of South Korea. You know, being a very humble pastor, and just like Howard, he let it go. No, he didn't. He decided, I'm going to have my jacket. I need my jacket. So he took after this little boy, going through the highways and byways of the little streets of South Korea, until in the distance he could see his jacket on the floor. And as he approached his jacket and he lifted it up, underneath were five children trying to get warm because they were cold that night. And as he continued to walk the main street in South Korea, the worn, torn country, he saw what he thought were bags of rubbish being picked up and thrown into the dump truck by bin men that were driving down the street. But it broke his heart that when he got closer to those bags of rubbish, he realized they were children that have perished, orphans that had frozen overnight and were being cast away because they're a nuisance to society. At that point, you know, the good old planes, the ones with the propellers, when he flew back, all he could hear was, what are you going to do about it? The Holy Spirit was saying to him, what are you going to do about it? And from that moment on, he pledged to do something. And so he sponsored this little girl and some other children. And so from that point on, 1952, fast forward to today, there are over 2.3 million children actively through our holistic child development programs as we speak right now, being developed, being released from poverty in Jesus' name. And this is the world map. Obviously, the blue is the 29 countries that we are actively partnering with churches, helping to work with children on the ground. And the yellow are the 16 funding countries that help to make what happens a reality. We partner with over 8,900 local churches. And you might say to me, well, what is the difference between Compassion and a different organization or charity? Well, we believe our distinctives are threefold. Firstly, we are Christ-centered. Everything we do is about Jesus, for Jesus, unto Jesus, and because of Jesus. It is through Him and to Him that we do what we do. Children and families do not have to be Christians, but we want them to know the good news that could give them life and life in abundance. So Christ-centered, child-focused, we are all about children. Everything we do, whether it's the one-to-one sponsorship, which we're going to talk about today, whether it's through our other interventions like digging wells or other such things, everything is to give the child the best opportunity for today and tomorrow. The things that we take for granted here in the UK, it gives them an opportunity to have the very basics at least. And thirdly, we are church-driven, driven by Christ-centered, God mission-believing churches like yourselves who are passionate about releasing children and partnering with other churches in mission, partnering with you guys, with a church on the ground, and for this case, it's in Uganda, to be able to help empower them and enlarge what they're doing and elevate the impact they're having within their community. So Christ-centered, child-focused, and church-driven. And I've talked about the child sponsorship. Well, child sponsorship is a bit like one-to-one. We want to make sure that there is one sponsor to one child. And you might say, well, what does that look like? Well, it's multifaceted. We believe that in order to be as holistic as possible, you need to offer that child at least the very basics and more. So we want to make sure that for £32 a month, that child will go through education, hopefully through higher or even vocational training to university and beyond. We want to ensure that they have a safe place to play. You know, one of our graduates said to us, he's actually on the board of Compassion UK. He grew up in the slums in Uganda. He said poverty robbed him of the dignity of choice. Poverty robbed him of being a child. And so we want to give them a safe place to play, a safe place to belong, and a safe place to be children where they can be known, loved, and protected. Part of the life-changing difference is medical checks. That could be anything from, you know, the good old days of seeing face-to-face GP appointments. It could be something routine like that. Or it could be, I heard recently, brain surgery, being sent to Germany to have brain surgery because the child needed it. We want to make sure they have healthy, nutritious meals to make sure the child, you know, you can give them education, but if they can't concentrate because their stomach is empty, that doesn't help. So we want to make sure they have healthy food, recreational play, and that they get all the multifaceted help, as well as being a part of a church group, a part of what they're doing is coming on a Saturday, hearing about Jesus in Christ-centered discipleship programming. And that's what we want to offer as part of our life-changing difference. For £32 a month, you could sponsor a girl by the name of Mercy, 10-year-old girl in Uganda. Or you could sponsor a boy by the name of Sunday. I wonder if his brother's called Monday and his sister's called Tuesday. I don't know. But you could sponsor one of these lovely children and you could give them the opportunity to have a life that they maybe didn't think was possible. Just through £32 a month of saying, I want to stand in the gap for these children. And we want to make sure we let you know that we believe in utmost integrity of our financial integrity. And we commit to a minimum of 80% going directly to impact the child and the family. Last year, actually, if you look at our reports, our annual reports, it was actually near 87% went directly to impact the child and their family. We want to honour your giving and honour the church with their faithfulness. So as I said, we're going to partner you guys with Uganda. You already are doing amazing stuff, and particularly in the area of Karamoja. Karamoja, there's a recent study that says that 65.7% in the Karamoja region live in extreme poverty. Karamoja is in the northeast of Uganda, and it's a very large space with over 1.5 million people. It's a very nomadic lifestyle and has been affected quite dramatically by the effects of COVID and drought and other things. But we wanted to partner with you guys with a church that you are already doing amazing things with. I was pointed this morning at that banner at the back there, which says Church of the Good Shepherd, Four Marks and Latomi, which is the church that you are partnered with. Latomi Parish, Church of the Good Shepherd. This is a few pictures of that project that we got recently. And as you can see, that's them doing basically their Sunday school on the top left. On the top right, they're writing their letters to the sponsor who sponsors them. On the bottom right, there's so much joy in Africa. I miss that, they're so full of joy, they're dancing. And my favorite photo is that bottom left picture. And I don't know if you can see it, it's a bit small, but the children are grinning from ear to ear, and they've all got cones on their heads because what they're doing as a project is they're celebrating their birthdays, which is unheard of. In a place where you don't even know when you were born, these children are filled with joy that someone knows them, someone cares for them, and someone wants to celebrate them. And so this is the church that you're partnered with. This is the church that we want to make sure you, every single child that I've brought is represented from. So across this project within the church here, there are 317 children already being developed, already being a part of what we're doing. And so every child that I've got represented today, these two children here, the 30-odd children we have, are all actively in this church project. They're all actively being developed. They're already receiving the help and care that they need. But I want to invite you into their story. I want to invite you and give you an opportunity to say, I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I want to help them and disciple them and encourage them. I want to introduce you to Vicky. We're going to watch her story, and I'm going to narrate for you a bit about her life in Uganda, Karamoja.
There were many deaths in the region.
There were many deaths in the region.
It was not merely
It was not merely hunger. It became famine.
There was no,
there was no other alternatives
in terms of food insecurity.
The death reports every day was troubling.
And also, when you look at Uganda,
Karamoja is the poorest region. The global food crisis has severely impacted communities in the Karamoja region. Unreliable rain patterns, rocky soil, and violent cattle raids have dramatically affected the lives of the Karamojong people. I love to sing, especially when I sing songs to God. I sing as I collect firewood to bring home, so my sister Judith can cook the mandazi that she sells at the market. Each day, my older brother Abel fetches water from the river so we can boil it. Eric, my youngest brother, is 6 years old. He helps us dig in the garden. The smallest harvest we get helps us to buy books for school. This is how we survive each day. And we thank God for each one. The first time I met Vicky, she was sick, but I could imagine a smile on her face. Such a lovely girl. She embraced me. I felt that there was love and that bond. In their home, they were really not doing well. Even the basic needs in their home, life was very hard for them. Vicky was so close to her mother. Every time Vicky would come and would sit with her mother embracing her, she never wanted her mother to leave her. Vicky lost her mother. And from that time, Vicky has been so desperate. And she finds herself now heading the family as a child. She has taken the role of a mother. She can do the washing of clothes. Even Abel has also taken the role of a father. When it's time for burying my mum, my daddy, he did not come. I don't know even where he is. When Vicky's mother passed away, the church stepped in immediately with counseling with the children to make them feel loved so the gap is not felt. In Karamoja here, girls are married off at a very tender age. If Vicky was not registered into the program, we don't know where she could have been, but life would have been very desperate for this child. When these children hear what they have received sponsors, they become so excited. They get gifts. They receive letters. When a sponsor says that I'm praying for you and your family, the child feels through the prayer, God will take care of us. It's kind of a divine connection. These gifts have supported the children in very beneficial ways. They were able to plan for cooking oil, for wheat flour, to be able to start the bread-making business. They have learnt to love the Lord because he's the source of their help. They come to church, they praise. And I believe it's also helping the community. Vicky is no longer going to be that child that has a lost future, because we are here for her. And we will do our best to guide her along the path. That's Vicky's story. A child-led family because of loss and poverty. It breaks my heart every time I watch that story. But I know that God is doing amazing things. And through the sponsorship of Vicky, she's able to help her siblings also go to school and other things. The knock-on effect of what the church is doing to draw alongside them is unmistakable. And so we look at the passage very briefly in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. If you've been in church for probably more than a day, you would probably know this passage. It's a very well-known passage and one that we've probably heard a million times. And sometimes we can come to the passage with our own preconceptions. And I think sometimes we can also do that when it comes to the issue of poverty. We can sometimes come to it and say, actually, poverty is too big an issue. There's nothing we can really do about it. Or you can think, poverty is just hyped up a bit too much by media. It's just, they make it too big. Or maybe you think, actually, poverty is just so vast, it's just hopeless. Or maybe, just maybe, like the Good Samaritan, you might say, it's big, but tell me what I can do about it, and I'll do something. You know, here in this story, we see three very different responses to need. We see that the man was walking along, and as we know, the robbers beat him up and left him for dead. They beat him, they left him, and we see three very different responses. Firstly, we see the priest and the Levite. They both see the man, but they cross to the other side and they avoid the need. They walk away in fear of their own life, rightly or wrongly. They may be just too busy or too indifferent to help. And then we see the Samaritan, who has every reason to go the other way, but he stops. Martin Luther King says this: the first question which the priest and the Levite ask is, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the Good Samaritan reverses the question, and he says, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? He reverses it, and Jesus is showing the example of what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's a discipleship issue. It's a walk daily with Christ issue. And if we go to the next slide, or not, that's fine. We see that there are a couple of things that I just want to point out. Firstly, we see that the Samaritan, he chose to see the need. He chose to see the need. You know, we get bombarded left, right, and center, and we can easily close our eyes to the need around us, to our neighbor's plight, or to even the food bank needs that are needed even within the UK. But he decided and he chose to see the need, and he chose to be moved with compassion. We see throughout scriptures, Jesus, it says in Matthew 9, verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He chose to see the need. You know, compassion works with the local church because they understand and they completely get the culture, the context, and the challenges that they face. And loving God with all that we are touches our emotions. It saturates who we are, and it prompts us to move. When faced with poverty and injustice, to love Christ with all that we are calls us to respond and not to retreat. So firstly, we see that he sees the need. Secondly, we see he answers the cry. You know, it's easy to see a need and then to do as the others, the Levites and the priest did, and walk to the other side. But he actually stopped and he answered the cry. Faith without deeds is dead, as it says in James 2, verse 26. And that is what it means to love the Lord God with our minds. It's a submission of our will and our minds to Christ. And it says, God, I will not just see, but I will submit all my will to you so that you can use me, so that I can be a disciple and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Each and every one of us long to get to heaven and hear those words that we hear throughout Scripture. Well done, good and faithful servant. My question to us is, are we responding to need? Not only the need of maybe sponsoring a child, but actually maybe the need of our brothers, our sisters, our family members, or our neighbours here in Four Marks. Are we responding in love as the Good Samaritan did? Are we reaching out a helping hand? So we see that he chose to see the need. We see that he answered the cry. And we see that he refused to give up. You know, I love the Good Samaritan story. It's so incredible how he not only went and knelt down and when the man was on the floor, he went and bandaged his wounds. He washed him. He anointed him. But not only that, he went a bit further. He picked the man up and he put him on his donkey and he took him to an inn and he made sure he had a safe place to stay where the innkeeper could look after him. He went over and above and refused to stop by any obstacle. Because when we love God with all our strength, it requires us to muster a bit more within us. You know, I want to encourage you this morning. You know, I don't know about you, but my wife has been badgering me to go to the gym more than once a week because I've committed to it and I just need to stop giving up. But I wonder what it is in your life that you need to not give up on. Maybe it's praying for your loved one to know Jesus. Maybe you're believing for healing or for breakthrough in your life. Or maybe you are a sponsor and you want to ask you to continue carrying on the good work. Why? Because we see in Hebrews 12 verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross. He didn't give up so that we may know life and life in abundance. May we be a people who also don't give up in every way, in everything we are doing. So he chose to see the need. He chose to answer the cry. He refused to give up. And lastly, he was the key to bring life. You know, the Good Samaritan wasn't hindered by the difference of this man, but he had a heart to make a difference to this man. He wasn't hindered by the fact that actually, as a Samaritan and a Jew, they were enemies and the two should never meet. Bit like Romeo and Juliet. But actually, no, he looked beyond the difference. He looked beyond race. He looked beyond the need. He looked beyond the cultural differences. And he said, I will continue because I love the Lord God with all my heart. You know, sometimes we look at the religious priest or we look at the Levite who was full of ritual. And we know that Jesus does not desire ritual or religion. It says in Isaiah 58, he desires us to loose, to untie, to set free, to share, to provide, to clothe, and not to turn away the widow and the orphan. He calls us not to be a people of religion, not to be a people of ritual, but to be a people like the Good Samaritan, of relationship, one to another, showing a helping hand. The Good Samaritan gave his time, his touch, and his treasure in order to help out that man. I wonder today, if God was before us today, what would he be saying to us? He would be saying what he said at the very end of the passage. He asked the man, the religious leader, he said, who was the neighbor to this man? And what did the man say? The one who showed mercy. And Jesus' response was this, go and do likewise. What a challenge for us today, church, that we can be his hands and feet. That we can show a little bit of love and tenderness. That we might be able to draw alongside Sunday or Mercy or one of these beautiful children and say, actually, I want to support you. I want to pray for you. I want to show you the love of Jesus because he first loved me. If that's you this morning, I'd love to chat with you at the end. I'd love to introduce you to one of these lovely children. They're already being developed. They're already a part of the program, but we get the privilege of being a part of their story. Thank you so much, church. Bless you.